The Errors of Predestination and Election Theories. Romans chapter 8 verses 28 to 30. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called; whom He called, these He also justified; and whom He justified, these He also glorified. Did God choose only some of us? No, He chose all of us in Christ. The theological concepts of predestination and election in Christianity have become a cause for misunderstanding the Bible and God from the beginning for those who seek to believe in Jesus and attain salvation. The concepts of predestination and election in Christian theology have brought much confusion to those who want to believe in Jesus. If God really chose some and not others, many people would suffer from the question, "If I believe in Jesus, was I chosen or not? And if I wasn't chosen, wouldn't believing in Jesus be in vain?" This issue would arise. This has led people to focus more on whether they are chosen or not, rather than believing in Jesus correctly. Therefore, we must re-examine the concepts of election and predestination. First, we must accurately understand the biblical teachings on predestination and election and believe in the certain salvation that comes from being born again through water and the Spirit. The errors in predestination and election theories. People are misled by the theological concepts of predestination and election, which causes them to believe in Jesus and yet face destruction. In Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 to 5, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." However, some false theological interpretations claim that God loves some and unconditionally hates others, choosing not to select them. Consequently, they say that those chosen by God are born again through water and the Spirit and go to heaven, while those not chosen go to hell. If this were the logic for believing in Jesus, who could believe without feeling anxious? If it's an unconditional selection by God, without knowing whether one is chosen, people cannot believe even if they want to. Who then is God the God of, and who is He not? Romans chapter 3 verse 29 says, "Or is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also." What does theology say about the words in Romans? Theologians have created the concept of unconditional election, according to their own ideas, saying that if it does not conform to their thoughts, it is hell, and if it does, it is heaven. Is theology the word of God? No, theology is not the word of God. God chose all people in Christ before the creation of the world, and through Jesus, He removed their sins and made sinners righteous to save them. God loved the world so much. Do not make God a biased God. Unbelievers believe in their own thoughts, while believers in God believe in His written word. The concept of election in the Old Testament. Is the unconditional election of theology correct? No, God chose everyone in Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 25 verses 21 to 26 of the Old Testament, we see Isaac's two sons, Jacob and Esau. According to the false theological concept of election, God chose Jacob while he was still in his mother's womb and did not choose Esau. Thus, people who misunderstand God's words use this passage as evidence for the doctrine of unconditional election. This is similar to unbelievers introducing the concept of a fate God into Christianity. If God's selection is not based on being in Christ, but rather on an unconditional selection, then our faith becomes similar to worshiping a fate god or idol. God is not a fate god. Believing in a fate god means abandoning God's plan for oneself and submitting to Satan's plan. It is said that if one does not obey God's will, they will perish like a beast. As believers, we must become possessors of true faith by correctly understanding and believing the recorded truth of the Bible. Failing to reflect on the recorded word and falling into destruction is a sin that allows oneself to be handed over to Satan. To have the right faith, we must think according to the recorded word of the Bible and follow the faith of the righteous who have been born again. Calvinism's 5 points include the doctrine of limited atonement, which states that God's love in the form of the Lord's atonement saves some but not others. But is this really true? The Bible says, God desires all people to be saved. If the Lord's atonement were limited to certain individuals, many would give up believing in Jesus. Who would want to believe in such a narrow-minded God? We must clearly understand that our God is not a narrow-minded God, but a God of truth, love, and justice. Knowing this, we must believe in the gospel of blessing, which is being born again of Jesus' water and the Holy Spirit, and receive salvation from all our sins. The Lord has become the Savior of all who have faith reborn through water and the Holy Spirit. In Reformed Presbyterian Calvinism, it is said that if there are 10 people, some are predestined by God to be saved, while the rest are left to go to hell. However, this is not the truth. It doesn't make sense for God to love some and unilaterally abandon others who have done nothing wrong. If God were here today and decided to save everyone on the right line and send everyone on the left line to hell, could God be treated as God by people? Wouldn't those abandoned by God protest? Even thieves say that fairness is important. Similarly, creatures would protest, saying, "Where is such an unfair God?" Unconditional election is a falsehood because God chose people in Jesus Christ. God called sinners in Jesus Christ. Those who are called by God in Jesus Christ are chosen within God's election. Who are the ones called by God? Those called by God are not the righteous, but the sinners. Those who justify themselves as righteous are not called by God. The grace of God's salvation, which removes sin, is responded to by those who acknowledge themselves as sinners destined for hell. God's election is the choice to save sinners in Christ, making them righteous and children of God. God is a just God. Did God unconditionally choose some and not choose others? God has made every person the object of salvation in Jesus Christ. God is not a God who unilaterally loves some people and hates others. God's call to sinners is a call in Jesus Christ. Without the salvation of atonement, which is the removal of sin, accomplished by Jesus Christ, God's love and salvation cannot be fulfilled. Please do not make God an unjust God. Let's examine why they fell into falsehood by reading Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. They failed to properly understand and overlooked the phrase, in Christ, in this passage. The doctrine of unconditional election, among the 5 points of Calvinism, which states that some are chosen and others are not, is not biblical. The Bible records that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. God has determined to remove the sins of all humanity, who are born as sinners, through the water and the Holy Spirit of Christ, and to choose those who believe in this true gospel as his children. In Jesus Christ, God has made all people the object of salvation and has chosen everyone. However, the falsehood of unconditional election states that some are chosen and others are not, which inevitably leads many people into a confusion of unbelief. The truth of God's word is that he has chosen all sinners for salvation in Jesus. But the falsehood claims that God unilaterally chose some and not others without Jesus, which is an unbiblical doctrine. As a result, many people who believe in Jesus fall into irrational faith. The superstitious faith of those who do not believe in Jesus correctly originates from the doctrines of falsehood. Believing in unbiblical and false doctrines leads to confusion. On the other hand, if we understand the truth that God has determined to save all people in Jesus Christ, and that the salvation of sin removal by Jesus is given fairly to all believers, then all who believe will not only be saved from all the sins of the world but also become children of God, righteous, and receive eternal life. This understanding reveals God's justice to all who believe. The call of God is seen in Jacob and Esau. Who are those whom God calls? God called those like Jacob. In Genesis chapter 25 verses 19 to 28, Jacob and Esau are mentioned. In Rebekah's womb, Esau and Jacob were both kicking. God said in Genesis chapter 25 verse 23, "Two nations are in your womb, two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." Unregenerate sinners have taken this passage and turned it into a theological doctrine of predestination and election, leading countless sinners into confusion. They have caused many to wonder if they are chosen or not, even after believing in Jesus. This has led people to believe they are part of God's selection and thus saved, making them less concerned with the removal of sin through Jesus' water and the Holy Spirit. The doctrine of election has focused many people's attention on election, causing them to neglect the blessing of sin cleansing through Jesus' water and the Holy Spirit. Their doctrine of unconditional election has prevented many believers from receiving the cleansing of sin, leading them to hell even after believing in Jesus. This has made people view God as an unjust God. In this way, many theologians have created and passed down their own comparative theories, causing pure believers in Jesus to constantly question whether they are chosen by God or not. They are left with anxious faith, always wondering if they are predestined or not. When we ask whom God called between Jacob and Esau, the Bible records that God called Jacob through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 9 verses 10 to 13, it is written, "And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but of him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated." Additionally, the Bible states that Jesus said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Everyone is born as a sinner, being a descendant of Adam. David said that he was a sinner even in his mother's womb and that he was born in sin. "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." People are born into this world as sinners due to the sins of their ancestors, inheriting those sins from the moment of conception. Thus, sinners unintentionally become sinners, act as sinners, and bear the fruits of sin. Even a young child who has not committed any actions or sins is still a sinner because they are born with the seeds of evil, filth, and wicked thoughts, such as murder, envy, strife, theft, false testimony, and greed, due to the sins of their ancestors that they inherited at birth. Humans are sinners from before birth. Then why did God fail with his first creation? The reason is this: God created humans as his creatures. However, God's true intention was different. He allowed this to happen for the purpose of making humans his children. Therefore, God permitted the first man, Adam, to fall into sin, and when humans became sinners, he sent Jesus Christ to this earth. Through Jesus' baptism, all the sins of sinners were transferred to him, and he abolished all sins through his baptism and blood. Those who believe in Jesus as their Savior are reborn as children of God, becoming His true children. God allowed Adam's sin with the premise of salvation through Jesus, which cleanses sins. Sinners with false beliefs say, "Look at Jacob and Esau, did God not choose one and reject the other?" But God did not make an unconditional choice, He chose us in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 9 verse 11 states, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but of Him who calls. God chose Jacob in Jesus Christ because Jacob was weak and a model of a sinner without righteousness. This aligns with the statement, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. God chose Jacob and Esau, not by works but by Him who calls. Who are those whom God calls? God called those like Jacob, sinners who cannot help but sin before God, born with shortcomings and full of deceit. God called them through His Son Jesus to save them from sin through the gospel of Jesus' water and blood, making them children of God. Therefore, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but of Him who calls. God called those like Jacob to give them the blessing of sin removal. God chose sinners in Jesus Christ to eliminate their sins and make them righteous. This is the election and predestination that God has spoken of in Jesus Christ, and it is the predestination of God the Father's choice. Why did God love Jacob? Why did God love Jacob? Jacob knew his own shortcomings and acknowledged that he was a sinner, so he sought God's grace. I once read Stephen Hawking's The Revelation of the Apocalypse. It is said that his The Revelation of the Apocalypse received positive reviews in the United States. In Stephen Hawking's The Revelation of the Apocalypse, there is a concept called the choice of non-truth. A young man had a dream in which an elderly woman appeared and told him to go to a certain place. The young man went to that place. The elderly woman told him, "You have been chosen by God." When the young man heard this, he asked, "I don't believe in God, how did He choose me?" The elderly woman replied, "Even if you don't believe in God, God has chosen you. Such a choice is a selfish decision made by humans. How can God unilaterally send some people to hell and choose others? God's choice is to choose everyone in Jesus Christ, and without Jesus Christ, He does not choose anyone. A doctrine of election without Jesus Christ is not biblical. This kind of doctrinal choice is a non-truth. However, many theologians say that God chooses some and not others. Absolutely not. God has chosen to save all people through Jesus Christ. The reason some do not receive salvation is that they do not believe in the gospel of the remission of sins through the water and the Spirit given by Jesus, not because God did not intend to save them. God has determined to save all people from all sins. Before the creation of the world, God decided to save all sinners, created as His creatures, from their sins and make them His children through the salvation of water and the Spirit accomplished by His Son, Jesus Christ. Through the salvation of water and the Spirit in Christ, God chose to save all humanity from all the sins of the world. This is what the Bible teaches about God's predestination and election. Those who are reborn by believing in the gospel of the remission of sins through Jesus' water and the Spirit are the chosen ones in Jesus Christ. However, in theology, God's choice is divided into the elect and the non-elect. Therefore, it is said that Buddhist monks who do not believe are not chosen by God. But God has intended to save even those monks who do not believe through Jesus Christ. If there is an unconditional choice without Jesus Christ, would there be a need to preach or believe? If God chose without Jesus Christ, the Savior, what need would there be for sinners to believe in Jesus? How would God's love, truth, salvation, and all these words be fulfilled? Then, would there be a need for God's righteous servants on this earth to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ's salvation? Would righteous people who have had their sins removed need to evangelize? Is it true that God the Father has already chosen who will go to heaven and who will go to hell without Jesus Christ? God's choice of Jacob in Jesus Christ, saying, "I loved Jacob and hated Esau," means that God knew from the womb that Jacob would be a believer through Jesus Christ and chose him. In this world, there are many sinners who believe in Jesus. If we categorize them into two groups, one group is like Esau and the other like Jacob. Why did God love Jacob? Jacob knew he had no righteousness and acknowledged his shortcomings, so he confessed that he was a sinner before God and sought God's grace. Therefore, God called Jacob and saved him. However, Esau relied more on his own strength than on God and did not believe in the Lord, so he did not enter into the grace of salvation that wipes away all sins. Therefore, it is true that God said, "I loved Jacob and hated Esau." God has already chosen to save all humanity through Jesus Christ from his side. Sinners only need to believe in the grace of sin removal through Jesus Christ. Then, the truth and righteous salvation of God the Father will be fulfilled. The only thing for all of us sinners to do is to believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ has removed our sins. Believing in the salvation that Jesus has accomplished by removing sins is what everyone must do, and God has completed the salvation of sinners through the salvation that Jesus Christ has accomplished by removing all sins. The Sanctification Doctrine of Non-Truth. Is it true, as the doctrine of sanctification says, that we become holy gradually and that salvation is completed in this way? No, it is not. We are justified and receive salvation once and for all by believing in the gospel of water and the Spirit. The doctrine of sanctification is a false doctrine devised by Satan to deceive sinners and keep them from being freed from sin. The doctrine of sanctification teaches that salvation comes through a gradual transformation into holiness after believing in Jesus. According to this doctrine, a person does not become righteous instantly by believing in Jesus, but rather receives forgiveness of original sin while needing to repent daily for personal sins. Over time, their character is supposedly transformed into holiness. The theory of sanctification focuses on gradual change in people. It is a plausible theory that suggests one becomes a holy Christian by gradually changing after believing in Jesus. This false theory of sanctification has convincingly deceived those who believe in Jesus within Christianity and has reassured them. They think, "My character will change someday, I will become someone who does not sin someday, and live as sinners until they die, falling under God's severe judgment." Then, how does the Bible speak? In Romans chapter 8 verse 30, it says, "Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified." In verse 29, it says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." From a human perspective, it may seem as though there is a process needed for a sinner to become righteous. However, the Bible says that God instantly makes a person righteous through Jesus Christ. God called sinners to make them righteous. "Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, whom he called, these he also justified." Jesus came to this earth for sinners, received baptism in the Jordan River to take on the sins of the world, and received judgment for those sins on the cross on our behalf, thereby removing all sins. Those who believe in this gospel become sinless righteous people. Therefore, those who believe in their hearts that Jesus has removed all the sins of the world become glorious children of God once and for all. When creatures believe in Jesus' removal of sins, they are instantly made righteous and become glorious children of God. Jesus eliminated all the sins of sinners through his baptism and the blood of the cross, thereby making them righteous instantly, saving them, and making them children of God. This is God's grace. Some believers in Jesus look at Romans chapter 8 verse 30 and say, "Doesn't it imply steps or gradual progress? Doesn't it mean that God calls, justifies, and glorifies gradually?" They deceive by saying this. These deceivers use the doctrine of sanctification to deceive people, saying that one becomes righteous and sanctified gradually, looking forward to the future. However, the Bible says that we become righteous and glorious once and for all through Jesus, not in the future tense but in the completed tense. There is a clear difference between the future and completed tenses. We must believe in the Word of God as recorded in the Bible, without adding or subtracting a single letter or dot, and understand what the Word says. The Word of God recorded in the Bible says that we become righteous once and for all and become glorious children of God once and for all. The salvation that makes us righteous once and for all through Jesus is distinctly different from the sanctification theory of non-truth. The sanctification that non-truth speaks of is a theory that says one believes in Jesus and is forgiven for original sin, but must repent daily for the sins committed during their faith journey, gradually changing and becoming a complete righteous person before God. Sinners remain greater sinners even after believing in Jesus because they believe in this false theory. Therefore, the doctrine of sanctification is a non-truth. The Bible clearly states that one becomes righteous once and for all by believing in Jesus, and those who receive the removal of sins become glorious children of God. God says that just as a child of the flesh is born into this world once and for all, a child of God also becomes a glorious righteous person and a child of God once and for all when they understand and believe in the truth of the removal of sins. The theory of sanctification, which is a non-truth, is a word born from falsehood. To obtain complete salvation from sin. To receive complete salvation from sin once and for all, one must believe in the gospel of water, baptism, and the Spirit, by which Jesus has removed the sins of the world. In Romans chapter 8 verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." God has made all sinners complete righteous people and has fully freed those who are in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12 says about the complete removal of sins by God, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." It is described that those who believe in Jesus Christ are made righteous once and for all and can enter heaven once and for all. People are saved from all the sins of the world and their own sins by hearing and believing the gospel of salvation that Jesus removed sins through water and the Spirit. Those who are reborn believe in the gospel of water and the Spirit and are washed clean of all the sins of the world. However, sinners mistakenly believe that they are only forgiven for original sin when they believe in Jesus and must repent daily for all the personal sins they commit, receiving forgiveness for sins every day. This is why they cannot help but go to hell because of their mistaken belief in Jesus. Believing in Jesus incorrectly leads people to hell. Such a belief requires daily repentance for past, present, and future sins, making it impossible to attain complete salvation. If one had truly received the removal of all sins through faith in Jesus, they would be a child of God and a righteous person. True remission of sins through the gospel of water and the Spirit means becoming righteous once and for all, becoming a child of God once and for all, and entering heaven once and for all. Even if a person is saved from all the sins of the world through Jesus, their flesh does not change until death. However, the heart that has received the removal of sins once and for all becomes a spirit that is saturated with God's righteousness. The Bible says that the Spirit becomes complete and righteous once and for all by believing in the gospel of the remission of sins accomplished by Jesus. Let's see in Hebrews chapter 10 verses 9 to 14 which gospel is true and which is not. "Then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.' He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. In this passage, it is stated in the past perfect tense that the salvation that makes sinners righteous has been accomplished. To obtain complete salvation, one must believe once and for all in the gospel of the remission of sins through the water and the Spirit given by the Lord. Jesus gave eternal redemption once and for all. How can people always live with joy? It is because my sins have been completely removed through Jesus' baptism and shedding of blood. If we believe in the eternal atonement accomplished by Jesus, we become righteous once and for all. In the Bible, God says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 16-18. Rejoice always. Those who believe in the eternal atonement given by Jesus through the Holy Spirit, water, baptism, and blood receive the removal of all the world's sins once and for all, have no sin in their hearts, and can always rejoice. How can people rejoice always? It is because they have no sin. Jesus took away all our sins and made us sinless, so we give thanks for that. Because of our own inadequacies, we come to give thanks before God. Those who receive the removal of all sins once and for all by believing in the written word of God can rejoice always. Psalm chapter 32 verse 1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Being covered does not mean that the sins are still there but hidden. It means that Jesus has washed away all sins and saved those who believe once and for all. The eternal removal of humanity's sins by Jesus is recorded in the New Testament. When Jesus was baptized, the phrase, "For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness," Matthew chapter 3 verse 15, means, "most appropriate," or, "most fitting." Jesus was baptized in the most fitting way, just as in the Old Testament, a goat or lamb would receive the sins of the sinner by laying hands on it. Jesus received baptism from John to take on all the sins of all sinners once and for all, making them sinless. "For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness," Matthew chapter 3 verse 15. Jesus received baptism in this way to take on all the sins of the world's sinners, saving them from all worldly sins once and for all. Matthew chapter 3 verse 15 says, "For thus it is fitting," meaning that Jesus took on all the sins of the world's sinners through the baptism he received. Therefore, all of God's righteousness was fulfilled. We must not think of God's eternal removal of sin in physical terms. We must believe it through the word of God's salvation. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered," Psalm chapter 32 verse 1. When a person is born on this earth, all the sins they commit, both inwardly and outwardly, were transferred to our Lord when he received baptism from John at the Jordan River, Matthew chapter 3 verses 13-17. He took upon himself all the sins of the world and went to the cross. Additionally, by receiving baptism and dying in our place, the Lord took upon himself all the filthy and detestable sins committed in the world, as well as the judgment for all those sins. Because our Lord took upon himself all the sins and transgressions of us sinners through his baptism, all our sins were transferred to him, which is why Jesus was able to die on the cross. Those who believe in this truth of salvation are instantly reborn as righteous, free from sin. Since the Lord lives eternally, those who believe in the Lord's remission of sins can also be preserved as righteous at any time. Before God the Father, one can boldly say, "Father, hello. I have become your child by believing in Jesus, your only Son. Thank you, God the Father. I thank you for making me your child. This is not due to my merit, but because the Lord came to this earth and saved me from all sins, and said at his baptism and shedding of blood, 'For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness,'" Matthew chapter 3 verse 15, "I thank you for making me your child through the grace of Jesus' baptism and the merit of removing sins." Have you ever surrendered all your sins to our Savior Jesus Christ? Have all your sins been transferred to Jesus? God has made sinners completely whole in an instant by believing in Jesus' baptism of water and his shedding of blood. Sinners have obtained holiness instantly through faith in the Lord's baptism and blood. The relationship between Jesus' baptism and laying on of hands. What is the relationship between Jesus' baptism and the laying on of hands? The laying on of hands and Jesus' baptism are the law of salvation established by God, where the sins of sinners are transferred. God has determined to complete the salvation of those who believe in Jesus by putting a period to it in the past tense and has fully rescued sinners from all sins. The Lord has spoken, saying that he has already saved sinners from all sins. Do you believe in the written word of God, or do you believe in your own thoughts? Is it not right to believe in the written word of God? Faith is correct when it is based on the written word of God. Sinners become righteous by hearing and believing in the truth of salvation, which is the gospel of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River and his blood. Those who believe enter into the grace of God. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, Hebrews chapter 10 verses 10 to 12. The Lord says that he has already eliminated all the sins of the world about 2,000 years ago once and for all. We just need to believe in the written word. There is no need for us to strive to remove our own sins. We simply need to believe. The gospel of the removal of sin is a gift given by God. In Leviticus chapter 16 verses 21 to 22, during the Old Testament era, a goat was brought to the tabernacle and hands were laid on its head. Then, before God, it was confessed, "I have committed these sins," and the sins were transferred to the goat's head. Thus, the sacrifice received the laying on of hands, took on all the sins of the sinner, and died in the sinner's place. On the Day of Atonement, the goat received the laying on of hands and bore all the sins of the Israelites for that year, was led into the wilderness, and died. Thus, God saved all the Israelites from all their sins. To eliminate the sins of the people, there must first be a high priest to transfer the sins, and secondly, a sacrificial offering to receive the transferred sins. The high priest would lay hands on the head of the sacrificial offering with both hands, confess the people's sins, and transfer them to the scapegoat through the laying on of hands. The scapegoat was then sent into the wilderness, a desert without water or grass, to die. Thus, the people of Israel received the removal of all their sins. In this way, the Lord commanded that all the sins of sinners be transferred to the sacrificial offering. As it is written, "Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering," Leviticus chapter 1 verse 4. According to the law established by God, when a sinner or the high priest lays hands on the sacrificial offering, the sinner's sins are transferred to it. Similarly, when a person possessed by a demon lays hands on another person's head and prays, the demon can be seen to transfer to the person receiving the laying on of hands. However, the laying on of hands spoken of in the Bible refers to the medium through which sins are transferred, meaning the act of transmission. When a sinner lays hands on a sacrificial offering, their sins are always transferred to it. If a person possessed by a demon lays hands on someone, the demon is transferred, and if a person who has been reborn without sin lays hands on someone in prayer, God's power is transferred to heal the sickness. Looking at the law of sacrifice for salvation established by God in the Old Testament, the sinner would lay hands on the head of the sacrificial offering to transfer their sins to it, and then the offering would be killed. The meat would be given to the priest, who would place the fat on the altar of burnt offering and sprinkle the blood on the horns of the altar and finally pour the blood on the ground to eliminate all sins. However, this daily sacrifice could not make a person's spirit complete. Therefore, God gave the Israelites a law of sacrifice that could eliminate all the sins committed by the people of Israel in a year at once, as seen in Leviticus chapter 16 verses 29 to 31. This was to be done on the 10th day of the 7th month. God determined to save the people of Israel from all the sins they had committed in a year through the principle of representation, using Aaron, the high priest, and established the Day of Atonement to eliminate Israel's sins for that year. In Leviticus chapter 16 verses 21 to 22, it is written, "Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness." The high priest Aaron transferred all the sins of Israel for a year to the goat at once through the laying on of hands, freeing the people from their sins for that year. This was a model of the eternal sacrifice. Jesus is the meaning of Azazel, sent away. God the Father sent his Son Jesus to this earth to save us sinners from the sins of the world. In Matthew chapter 3 verse 15, John the Baptist, the last high priest of the Old Testament, baptized Jesus, transferring all the sins of the world to him. Jesus received this baptism, taking on the sins of the world, and as the Lamb of God, John chapter 1 verse 29, he was crucified on the cross, shedding his blood, and gave his life to save all who believe. Sinners receive salvation from all sins by believing in this law of salvation. Thus, sinners become righteous through faith. I truly give thanks. The relationship between Jesus' baptism and the washing away of sin. Even Christians who believe in Jesus and continue to live as sinners say in church, "God, forgive me for the sins I have committed over the week, over 3 days, and the sins I have committed today. Lord, I believe," professing to have been saved from sins by believing in the crucifixion of Jesus. Yet, they return to their daily lives and sin again. Jesus, as the Azazel of the Old Testament, took on all the sins of sinners through baptism and shed his blood on the cross to save all who believe. For sinners to be saved from sin, they must believe in the word of salvation accomplished by Jesus. In the New Testament, it is written that when Jesus received baptism from John the Baptist, all the sins of all people were transferred to him through baptism, fulfilling God's righteousness. Thus, all the sins of the world were washed away. Therefore, those who believe are saved from all sins. In Matthew chapter 3 verses 13 to 16, it is said that Jesus received baptism from John and shed his blood, becoming the Savior of those who believe in this work of salvation. The Gospel of Truth, which is the water and the Spirit, states that Jesus took on all the sins of the world once and for all through his baptism. However, false teachings say that one must receive the remission of sins every day. What should we believe? Should we believe in the salvation that removes all sins once and for all, or should we receive the remission of sins daily? It is clear that our Lord has already removed all sins once and for all. Jesus completed salvation once and for all with water and blood, and believing in this is true faith. Those who believe they must receive the remission of sins daily will not be saved from God's judgment. True remission of sins requires believing that Jesus was baptized and shed his blood on the cross to save us once and for all. The only thing sinners must do before God is to believe with gratitude. Those who believe incorrectly say that original sin is forgiven, but daily sins must be forgiven each day, and that one must attain sanctification to become righteous. This is a misguided belief. The removal of all sins was accomplished once and for all through Jesus' baptism and the cross. Sins must be transferred through John's baptism and blood must be shed. Committing sins and saying, "Forgive me," does not align with God's justice. God's law states that the wages of sin is death. We must recognize that God is holy and just. Thus, God is holy and just. When people sin and pray for forgiveness, saying, "I was wrong, forgive me," it is an act that disregards God's justice. This is merely an attempt to soothe one's own conscience rather than seeking the remission of sins from God. Is it enough to just soothe one's conscience after sinning? True remission of sins requires believing in Jesus' baptism and the judgment of His blood. One must believe with their heart for sins to be washed away. Believing in Jesus' baptism and the cross together is necessary to avoid the terrifying judgment of hell. We must understand the salvation from sin accurately through the Word. In Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22, it is written, "And according to the law almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission." God's law of justice states that sins must be atoned for with blood and death. Without shedding of blood there is no remission. This was God's just law, indicating that there can be no removal of sin without a price. God's law is just. Jesus received baptism from John and shed His blood on the cross to give sinners the removal of sin. Jesus took on the sins of the world through baptism and died in their place, saving them. In Matthew chapter 3 verse 15, Jesus received baptism as the "For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness" method to take on all the sins of the world and shed His blood on the cross to save believers from all sins. However, since Jesus was baptized and shed His blood on the cross to save us from sin once and for all, asking Him to forgive sins daily is like saying that Jesus should come down again, be baptized again, and die again on the cross. We must know and believe in God's law of justice regarding sin. Now, Jesus does not need to be baptized again or die twice on the cross for the sins of sinners. God the Father would likely consider those who believe in Jesus yet pray for forgiveness every day to be the most detestable. "You unbelieving, cursed ones, who make my Son Jesus be baptized again and crucified again. You believe in the baptism and cross of my Son, yet still claim to be sinners. I will send you to the burning hell through my righteous judgment. Would you humans kill your child twice? Even you wicked humans would not do that. How could you ask me, God, to kill my Son again because of the sins you commit after believing in Him? My Son, your Savior, has already taken on all your sins, past, present, and future, through His baptism and borne the judgment on the cross. Has He not saved you from all your sins? Therefore, you who believe in Jesus yet remain sinners, do not provoke me. Believe in the gospel of salvation through the water, the blood, and the Spirit of Jesus, which has washed away all your sins." Jesus says to those who believe in Him yet still consider themselves sinners, "Go and listen to the word that is preached in truth, and receive the removal of sin." Therefore, Jesus tells them to believe in the truth and fight against falsehood to overcome and receive the removal of all their sins. Now, what sinners must do is believe in the baptism of Jesus, which was the most fitting method where all sins were transferred to Him, and believe in Jesus who shed His blood on the cross as the judgment for all sins. God says, "You must believe in Jesus' baptism and blood with your heart to become righteous and confess with your mouth to receive salvation." Now is the time to believe with your heart and receive salvation. What is the result of faith in works rather than faith in truth? Sinners who believe in Jesus but have not been saved from the sins of the world may initially be enthusiastic for 3 to 5 years, but soon their passion fades. At first, they are zealous, but as time passes, even that enthusiasm disappears. If one believes in the salvation of Jesus as a religion of works, their passion will soon dwindle. Those who are spiritually blind cannot distinguish between truth and falsehood, so they rely on their senses and accumulate knowledge through them. They mistake emotional sensations, such as tears, for the salvation of forgiveness. However, the salvation of sin removal is not related to emotional sensations. Thus, the spiritually blind, not knowing the truth of sin removal, hop from one prayer house to another, one revival meeting to another, trying to recover their first love. But they cannot find that sensation, and emotional cleansing of sins becomes a vain effort. If they had believed correctly from the start and received salvation, that salvation would shine brighter with each passing day, bringing grace to both spirit and body. However, the salvation of falsehood may sparkle at first but fades after 5 or 10 years because they did not hear the true gospel from the beginning. Hypocritical scribes and Pharisees pretend to be humble, carrying the Bible decorously, praying well, reciting the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer, and even diligently praying for repentance. They rise through the ranks and their emotions intensify, but their sins accumulate and ultimately, they are rejected by God because of their sins. They whitewash their exterior with religion, but their hearts are rotten and full of sin, turning them into swindlers, sinners, and thieves. This is the result of believing in Christianity as a religion of works rather than true faith. Christianity should not be believed through one's actions. It is about believing with the heart to attain righteousness and confessing with the mouth to receive salvation. Faith makes us righteous once and for all. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 verses 16 to 18. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Now that they have fully received the removal of sin, there is no longer a need for sacrifices for sin. It may seem strange at first to hear that those who believe in Jesus' baptism and the cross no longer need to receive the removal of sin. However, this is the truth spoken by the Bible. It is not human speech, but the word of the Bible, which is the standard for all things. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. What happens after receiving the removal of sin? After receiving the removal of sins through faith in the truth, there is no sin in the heart, you are clearly righteous in thought, and thus, you live a bright life of faith. And God says in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 18, now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Why? I, God, have had my Son Jesus take on all the sins of the world through baptism. This was done in the most fitting way, as written in Matthew chapter 3 verse 15, for thus it is fitting. My Son Jesus took on all your sins, removed them, and was judged in your place, saving all believers from all the sins of the world once and for all. Now, you no longer need to worry about your sins. My Son Jesus has paid the full price for your sins. Just as you don't worry about a debt once it's paid, my Son Jesus took on your sins through baptism, was judged, and died in your place. Now, you will not die because of your sins, for my Son Jesus has removed all your sins through his baptism and blood. And in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 18, where there is remission of these, meaning that all the sins of the world have been eliminated, there is no longer an offering for sin. Do those who believe in Jesus and are reborn need to offer sacrifices again to remove their sins? No, they do not. Lord, forgive me and wash away my sins. Believing in Jesus yet living in sin, more wretchedly, is because they do not know the truth of salvation and have not received the removal of sin. They may appear as devout church members on the outside, but their hearts are completely rotten with sin, making them true sinners. A sinner commits evil acts without realizing they are sinful in the eyes of God. This is because they do not know the law of the true God, and therefore, they do not understand what sin is. They only know not to sin according to their conscience, but they are unaware of the sins pointed out by God's word. God says that not believing in Jesus Christ is a sin. In John chapter 16 verse 9, of sin, because they do not believe in me. God says that sin is not believing in me. In John chapter 16 verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, meaning that the Lord has completed the righteous work of removing the sins of the world. Therefore, the Lord will not repeat the work of baptism and the cross for the sins of humanity. The Lord says that those who believe in the gospel of salvation through his baptism, the cross, and the Holy Spirit are sinless and righteous. The salvation of all humanity from sin was completed through Jesus' baptism and the shedding of his blood on the cross. There is no other way to save sinners from sin except through Jesus' baptism and his crucifixion on the cross. In Acts, it is written, "For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus came to this earth, was baptized by John, and shed his blood to complete the salvation of sinners once and for all. We receive this salvation by believing in the truth of salvation with our hearts. Jesus has made us complete through water and the Spirit. Jesus cleansed all the sins of the world, every sin committed by humans in thought and deed, through the gospel of water and blood that he accomplished. Therefore, we can say that we receive salvation by believing in what he has done. If we believe in the truth that Jesus Christ has accomplished, we become righteous without sin once and for all. The baptism and blood of Jesus, the two works of water and blood, are the true truth for us. This is not the doctrine of predestination or election as spoken of in Christian theology, but rather that Jesus was baptized, took on all the sins of the world, went to the cross, was judged, and saved sinners from all sins and all judgments once and for all.